origins are from old, from ancient times, really literally from eternity. He's coming to Bethlehem for Israel. And we know the Israel in the Old Testament, Israel in the New Testament is the church. He's coming for the church. He's coming for you. And that's why, to highlight this morning the message that Christ was born in Bethlehem. Let me read the story. I should do that too a minute. We could almost quote it, right? Listen, Luke 2. Luke 2, I'll come back to it in a little bit. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I will admit to you right off the bat and without any apology, this in some ways is a goofy sermon. And I don't mean a goofy sermon, but it's not the kind of sermons I usually put together. Because I'm not going to do much with that text or this text or that. What I want to do is highlight what's coming up here next. What is your place? What is your place? What is my place? And together, what is our place? Last week we had, what is your name? What is your name? And we saw in half a minute that Jesus' name was crucially important. Call him Jesus, the angel said to Joseph, because what he's going to do, his name fits with his whole occupation. What he came to earth for, he will save his people from their sins. I made the point that your name doesn't mean that much in terms of your calling and so forth. You got name because your parents like your name, or they like the biblical name that they like, or they named you after your great-great-grandfather, or something like that, right? Enough said. You were named after them, and that's great. But really your name last week, if I may finish it, was your real name is not your own. From Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1. I'm not my own. That's who I am. I belong to Jesus. And that's your name. You go through life with your name reflecting Jesus, right? That was last week's sermon in a nutshell. Well, this one, another one, not what's your name, what's your place? What's your place? Put the next one up there, Luke, and you see you can fill these blanks in here if you... For Jesus, what's the place of Christmas? Bethlehem, right? Bethlehem is the place. Why is that important? Well, the place is important, just like the name was important last week. The place is important simply for this reason. God promised it. God said that Bethlehem, out of you, Bethlehem Ephratah, out of you. So Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. And we could go into a long explanation, and then it would be fascinating how God moves things in history with Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and Caesar Augustus, and so forth. The world would be taxed. But all in all, it came that Jesus, his mother, and his and Joseph, Mary, came to Bethlehem. What is your place? Not where you were born. I know you love the place you were born. For me, it would be Bozeman, Montana. My wife, Orange City, Iowa. Whatever. And hopefully we like the places we were born. But that's not your place. So the question is, most important question then, what then is my place? And the answer to that is, listen to this sermon, and I'll help you. But I can tell you that I am not going to be able to tell you what your place is. But I can give you clues and encourage you and help you. Now, the reason this sermon is a little bit different than most of them that I make is one of the key words for discovering what my place is and our place as Trinity CRC in the world. I want this word, one of the most important words of this sermon, specific. You've got to be specific, knowing what your place is. I don't want to say anything more about that. Let me give you four examples. And here's where it gets really goofy. All right, stay with me. And I want to give you how to help you see how unless you are specific, it just doesn't, it doesn't make a lot of sense. If you're somebody says, I'm a baseball fan. Oh, really? What team do you like? Oh, I don't really care for any teams. I just baseball. It's just fascinating to me that there's a guy standing there a little bit of a mound, and he throws the ball, and batter tries to hit it, and if he or she hits it, they run to first. It's just kind of, if that's all you can say about baseball, my guess is one or two games and you're done, and that's okay. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it. Just baseball, so you don't have to be interested in baseball. Same thing. Let me just use the Flowers one next, because unless you are specific. My wife she's in the nursery this morning, so I can pick on her. She's big into flowers, as many of you know. And when we moved here 14 years ago or so, in fact, 14 years ago about, I said to her, she flowers, and I said, let's put some of those flowers in, because I loved them, that we had way up in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada. We lived way up toward Edmonton, between Edmonton and Calgary, way, way up. You could see the North Pole from our house almost. Not quite. I said to her, let's put some of those flowers in that we had in Red Deer. And she said, what ones, Gil? I said, well, those ones that shot up, there were hardly any leaves on them, and they had nice blooms on them. And she said, oh, those are Icelandic poppies. And I said, yeah, let's put some in. And she says, oh, wise Gil, all wise Gil, what's the name of that flower you just mentioned? I said, well, Icelandic poppies. Say it again. Icelandic poppies. Icelandic. They don't grow in St. Louis. It's too hot. The summers are too hot. You got it. Well, plant them anyway. Well, they wouldn't work, of course. You got to be specific. Not hard to understand, right? You got to be specific. Same thing with football. I guess football's analogy fits the same way with baseball. Unless you can cheer for a certain team, and I don't care if you don't like football because it's just football, right? And that's why I really mean that. It's just a game. But for me, as you know, well, there's one team, professional football team, that I care for, and in my, and it's taken a long time, but in the years of maturity, I now basically watch no football, except if that team is on. I may watch a few plays, see what the Rams against the Patriots today, when I get home, a couple plays. My wife is not much interested at all. I think if you pushed her, she would be a fan of that same team I like, because she lived with me for 44 years. If I said to her, who is Ha Ha Clinton Nix? She would say, Ha Ha Clinton, Clinton? Nix for Nixon? Somebody that was with Clinton and Nixon? No, he's a deep back, defensive back for the Packers. But there's, unless you get specific, you're not gonna cheer for her. Right? This is elementary, right? In fact, a little bit of humor. We have this granddaughter, not one of the Andersons here, but a granddaughter in Tucson, and they asked her one time, what football team are you going to stick up for? Well, her dad, our son-in-law, is from just east of Indianapolis. So you would think, he really roots for the Indianapolis Colts. That makes sense. Her mother, our daughter, has been in Arizona for a long time, and Libby was born in Arizona, so her whole life has been in Arizona. So you would think the options for Libby would be either Arizona Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals, or the Indianapolis Colts for a football team. And you know what she said? They asked her, what football team are you up for? And she said, I'm going to be up for that team with a big G on it. That girl is going somewhere with her life. My point simply, folks, you need to be specific. And I get to the Christmas story about specific pretty soon. But now I'm going to come to my one of my main illustrations, and I'm just going to illustrate, because I want to make the point. That's where we're heading. Unless you are specific, knowing your place in the body of Christ, unless you know your place, it's going to be... As a matter of fact, before we even get to my next illustration, which I'll carry out a little longer, if the minister stands up here every Sunday, me, and I say, today we're going to talk about God's covenant. Isn't God's covenant great? The next week we're going to talk about God, the creation, God, God's creation. Following week we're going to talk about, I'm going to speak on grace. Oh, grace is an amazing thing, grace, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. The next week we're going to talk about prayer. And all I do is talk in generalities. Because those are the overarching themes of the Bible. Creation, fall, redemption, the coming again of Christ. Overarching theme. But unless the minister gets down to specifics, everybody leaves the church week after week and they haven't got a clue. What does God want me to do? What habits do I have to change in my life? Is there somebody that I need to go to? What the minister was preaching this morning, I need to go to that person because I really need to ask for their forgiveness. If nothing gets specific, we just all, wow, isn't this great? Right? Isn't that great? Here's my illustration I want to use with you for a little bit, stretch it a little bit. And those of you who are teachers, cut me some slack on this one because I'm not sure I got the right age. Put it up there, Luke, the first one. Here's a math exam for second graders. Can you for certain get this test correct? Could you get this test correct? Could you? The answer, I don't care how smart you are. You're not going to get this test correct because I'm not specific enough, right? You don't know what that means, what's between the 4 and 5. There's no way you can get this thing right. Whether you're a second grader or you got 6 doctorate degrees behind your name, you're not going to get it. It's not specific enough. Now, is math important? Yeah, math is important. Imagine if I was the teacher. Just imagine me as a teacher now of math. Scary thought, maybe, but... And I stand up in front of my college classroom. I'm a college professor. And I say, welcome into the first classroom. This is math. I am so excited about math. And I do that for the whole hour. We'll see you next week. Next week, the students come and I say, today I'm going to tell you about how different professions use math. Carpenters use math. Accountants use math. Engineers use math. Politicians twist math. Everybody, math. Math is so, so important. Math is so important. See you next week. Next week, I give a whole lecture on, I'm going to tell you how different cultures use math, how the Babylonians use math, and how the Nigerians use math, and how the people in Brazil use math, and how the Russians use math. And isn't it interesting, students, how the different math was used by different cultures? See you next week. Next week, I notice something is happening. 25% of my students aren't there. And 15 of them, the registrar told me, have transferred out of my class. What? I'm so excited about math. Why? Because they've caught on in 3 or 4 weeks that this is not going to be specific. It's not about math. It's about all kinds of other things. Other things are important. The things I just mentioned, all important. But unless you get specific, especially you first, second, third, fourth grade teachers and algebra, high school teachers, on and on. Could you pass that test? No. How about, put the next one up, Luke. Could you pass the test now? And I don't care about the answers so much, because I don't want you to get stumped. I can tell you this. The first one, first couplets, well, the first one, 5 times 4, 4 times 5, same answer, right? The next one, 4 minus 5, 5 minus 4, not the same. 5 plus 4, 4 plus 5, same again. 5 divided by 4, 4 divided by 5, not the same. 4 is what percent of 5? Okay, getting a little steeper now. 5 is what percentage of 4? Not the same. And if you don't know anything about math, you say, wait, this is all confusing. It doesn't make any sense. But for most of us in this room, come on, Pastor, of course. It all makes sense, right? Because you know the specifics. You know what the specifics that are being asked for. 4 is what percentage of 5? Oh, that would be 80%. Hope I'm right, Larry. But even this, if all you had was this, you say, well, math, who cares about math? All these things. Let me show you again how to even get more specific. I want you to picture, if you will, a pumpkin pie with real whipped cream. There is one! Huh, magic. A pumpkin pie with real whipped cream. Now I got a math question for you concerning this pie. Would you rather, if you divided the pie between a number of people and you all got equal parts, would you rather divide the pie among four people or five people? Well, remember, it's a pumpkin pie with real whipped cream. You say, well, I'd rather do it with four people because you just get 25%. And that's true. I would too. Except let me throw another. All I'm trying to do is to get you to see the specifics. And most of you are saying, we got it, Pastor. We got it. Get it on. Move on. But let me just imagine. Let's just say that the people are going to divide the pie are Pastor Gilcamps and four people on Weight Watchers. Then I would rather divide the pie by five. You know why? Because I think if you divided the pie by five, I'd get my fifth. And I think one of the four of Weight Watchers folks would say, they would succumb to the temptation of saying, yeah, I'm going to eat my piece. But the other three would put the pie in the refrigerator. That means 60% of it is in the refrigerator, and I can eat it later. Right? Now, my point with a bit of humor with all of this stuff is, it's got to be specific, folks. It's got to be specific, or you'll get nowhere. And I'm building this all up. And now here's why this sermon is a bit goofy. When we go to the Christmas story, I'm not going to preach any of this Christmas story other than this. Did you notice how specific it was, the Christmas story? If I ask you, what is Christmas all about? And you said, Christmas is about God sending his son into the world to be our Savior, I'd say amen. But tell me the story. And then without going into too many details, you say, well, there was, if you took Luke's version of the gospel, you'd say, well, Luke, there was this old man, Zechariah, and he had his old wife, Elizabeth, and they never had any children. And he was a priest. He went to the temple and he saw an angel, and angel said, Elizabeth's going to have a baby. And he said, I don't think so. And the angel said, you're not going to speak. Notice how specific it is. You're not going to be able to say a word until that baby is born. And when he's born, you name him John. Specific. He'll be the forerunner of my servant who's coming. And then a little bit later, same angel goes to a Mary, probably a teenager. You are highly favored among women. You will give birth to a baby. And Mary says, how can that be? I am a virgin. Notice how specific it is. And the angel says, Holy Spirit, and so forth. And Mary accepts it. And then you get to chapter 2, which we read. Notice how specific it is. When Caesar Augustus was on the throne in Rome, Quirinius was governor of Syria. I don't know what that means, Quirinius. I never did any work with him. But it just simply puts him in a calendar date. Quirinius was governor of Syria. All the world was required to be taxed, very specific. So they had to go to their hometown, very specific. And so then we'd be introduced to Joseph in Nazareth, in Nazareth of Galilee, up in the north, so to speak. So he had to go to Bethlehem because he was of the line and lineage of David. Notice how specific the story is. And so they head south. But they headed south with the woman that he was engaged to and so forth, married to. And we talked about that last week a little bit. Headed south with Mary. And I love the way the King James puts it. She was great with child. I don't want to mean to be great with child. You're either with child or not with child. But anyway, be that as it may, she had a big tummy. All these details. And they get to Bethlehem. And she gave birth to her firstborn. A son, wrapped him again, King James, in swaddling clothes, laid him in a feeding trough of animals, manger, because the no vacancy sign was flashing in the only inn of the little town of Bethlehem. My point simply is, congregation, notice the specifics, the specifics, the specifics of the story. And now I get to where I want to get in terms of my PowerPoints. I've already said it, unless you get specific, brothers and sisters, you'll never know your place. What is your place? Put the next one up there, Luke. What is my place as a Christian? Each of us knowing what my place is. I've already highlighted to you, what is the place of math? What is the place of football? What is the place of flowers? And all that stuff. Unless you know your place, and we can discover what our place is as Trinity Christian for St. Louis, all we're going to do is just talk in generalities about the Christian faith. It's got to get specific. Now I want to give you some illustrations and examples of knowing my place. And I'm really going to stress this because I'm going to get, my illustrations are very, very specific. They are only illustrations. I am not up here preaching law. I hate law in terms of, well, you come on, live by this law. If Christ has set you free, you're free. That doesn't mean you don't have law, but it's a whole different matter. I'm not up here laying laws down. I want you to catch that, because this is what I want you to understand. Myself too. As Paul wrote to Timothy, to the Philippians. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, when I was there, I better make sure we do it because Paul is right here, but now much more in my absence. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's at work in the Philippian church. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to fulfill his good pleasure. You work it out. You have to work it out what your place is in the body of Christ. I can't tell you, but you have to work it out, and you have to work it out specifically. And here is one of my illustrations in terms of you working it out. Many of us in this room, again, what is this thing that I'm doing right now? It's just an illustration. Many of us in this room have had a deep appreciation for Christian schools, my wife and I included. Deep appreciation. Means a lot to us. But imagine that we have in our midst here an unemployed dad and mom with two kids. And I suggest that what would happen if one of you, whom the Lord has blessed with wonderful income, why don't you pay 85% of the tuition for this unemployed man and wife with their two little boys, school-age boys? What, Pastor? 80? What? Why 85%? Because I think the parents have to have some invested in. They got to have some skin in the game too. I really believe that, not just handouts. 85%. Do you realize? And this is, I'm probably way off those of you who are paying Christian school tuition. You realize that tuition is $8,000 a student. So this couple have two children, that would be $14,000, and the other couple has three children, that would be $21,000. Wow. And again, I'm going to be careful with this because it seems to me, I don't want to know the specifics. Here, I don't want to know the specifics. But my guess is that you and your spouse's income, joint income, this probably is over $137,000 a year. Unless we get specific. I'm not saying we have to do that. I just want you to, you work it out what your place is. We work it out so that this coming Friday, we care about justice for the poor. Yes, we do. One of the specifics is we got room at the inn coming here. We care about children. Yes, we have Sunday school teachers and we have gyms and buds. It all gets specific. Does it all work out all the time? No, of course. But we get specific. And that is what our place is all about. You need to find what it means to be specific. And let me just for a moment now, and I don't have any notes on this, but let me just throw this out. If you're a young person here and you're single, and maybe someday you want to get married. I hope you can see in the pleading of this pastor why you specifically have to marry a boy marrying a gal marrying a guy. But even, I'm not even talking about that issue. I'm talking about the issue of, are they committed to Jesus? Is your wife-to-be, your husband-to-be committed to Jesus? Because if they're not committed to Jesus and his church, none of this specific that I talk about, knowing your place, is going to happen. It isn't. It isn't going to happen if you're not committed as a couple. Because every time one of you wants to give money to the church or support some mission, the other one's going to be arguing, fight, and it ain't worth it pretty soon. You need to be specific. You need to be specific. And my message to you as the Christmas story is extremely specific. In Bethlehem, God sent his son for us. And all my illustrations earlier with math and football and all that jazz. And now my specific, the whole message is here. And now I want to give you, and this is really at the end, find my own little notes here on that one. I want to give you five or six reasons. Actually, I think there's six up there. Put that right there like that. And what I have here is, and we're going to go, these aren't all points, but I'm just going to list them as we go. And most of them you'll say, oh, okay, that makes sense. Here's what these six are, and I actually added a seventh this morning. I could have gone up there, Luke, to have you put a seventh in. No, leave it out yet. Leave it, go back. These are the advantages. All these are the advantages of being specific. Being specific in your place. What is your place? Your place in the body of Christ is different than mine. Different than Don's. And different than Jamie's. You need to find your place. You need to find your place specifically. Or otherwise it's just, well, yeah, we're Christian Reformed and Grand Rapids is the head of our denomination and we got these creeds and they're all good. But that's all the umbrella. You need to be able to put it down. God is sovereign. Terrific. Tell me a story how his sovereignty affects your life. We believe in prayer. Yes, but tell me, whom are you wrestling in prayer for? What situations? Here are the advantages. No, I'm getting on again. I'm going to list them, and then you put them up later, Luke. No, we're back again. I'll list them, and then we'll put them up. So you can. Here are the huge advantages. Huge! Of knowing your specific place. And if you don't have that specific place, I hope you'll find it, no matter how old you are. By the way, boy, I'm just throwing all these tangents in here. By the way, young people and middle-aged people, there are men and women in this church, some in their 70s, some in their 80s, some are widows, some are widowers, some are still married together because the Lord had allowed them in their 80s to be husband and wife yet together. These men and women, many of them, know what their place was in the body of Christ for years, years. And they served God, not just in a local church, but they served God with their lives, and they still are. I hope you can look at those kind of people as mentors, not because they have all the answers, but they endured. They endured through decade in and decade out. That's what we want for you. I'll give them to you, and then Luke will throw them up after. What's the advantage of knowing your place? Number one, it keeps you fresh and green even into old age. Psalm 92, one of my life texts, 92 verse 14. It keeps you fresh and green. Number two, it keeps us fervent in prayer. I mean, you're pouring your life into a kid, high school kid. You come alongside him. Well, just picture that for a second. That's what you're doing. It keeps you fresh and green. I'll tie it in a little later. Number three, it keeps us longing for God's Spirit to take God's Word and the sacraments, which we'll administer in a few minutes, to fill us with power from on high. I need your power, Lord. I need your power. Because I am involved specifically in this person's life. And it's hard. It's hard. Number four, it causes us to rejoice with deep feelings. Oh, do we rejoice when we hear that the church in the Philippines, thousands have come to faith, or the prison ministry we ourselves support in Newton, Iowa, 8 baptisms of the men in prison this past winter. Ah, yes, we rejoice, and including rejoicing in our own church. But also number 5, it causes us to weep. And here's my illustration. You're pouring your life into some teenager. You walked alongside him or her for all these years, specifically walked alongside them. They're not your kids. They're not your birth kids. They're just simply there that you poured your life into. And you just heard that the kid got picked up while drinking and driving Friday night. And the girl you poured your life into is under discipline in school because she's been cheating on all her exams. And it hurts. It hurts. It hurts. That's one of the advantages of knowing your place. You'll cry like you never cried before. And you'll laugh like you never laughed before. I'm about finished. It causes us, number 6, to long for the new creation. And number 7, which I don't have up on the screen, it assures us of our salvation. Heidelberg Catechism says, how do you know that you belong to Jesus, body and soul? Christ, by his Holy Spirit, so in Lord's Day 1, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life, and, I like by better, by making me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. You see fruit on your life. You see fruit. And people are picking fruit and being nourished by you because you know your place. Not Bethlehem, not Bozeman, Montana, not St. Louis as your place where you're born. Your place is all that God has made you. Use for his glory and your joy. Would you stand for prayer?